to have the right reverend, honorable. We joked about how I was going to introduce him. And he leads a college group on the campus of Stanford. So we're very, very honored to have him and his wonderful wife, Paula, my friend, and their family to be part of our congregation. And so let's just welcome him with a huge thank you, because we know the last 2 days he's been preparing for this for you. So thank you very much.
So much, Sandra. Thank you all. Good morning, Abundant Life. It is so good to be with you. Normally, I am here with you, but sort of seated in row two or three over there. But it's nice to be up here looking at your beautiful faces, because I can't see you normally. And so Greg's nice to look at, but he gets old after a while. So. I love you, Greg. today, we are wrapping up the Love Does Lifestyle series. Hasn't it been a good series? I have been so personally blessed by all the messages I've been able to hear. And it's a great honor to be able to round it out. And especially when Greg told me the text that we were going to be finishing on. This is actually, I think, the simplest and most profound thing that Jesus has to say about the Love Does lifestyle. Now, I should mention, there are no slides today, so don't be looking at the screen. You have a handout with the notes in it. You'll have to do that, or shock, even use an actual Bible to follow along with what we are saying today. But again, it is in your handout. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 to 14. The difference between the sun being at the center of the solar system and the earth being at the center of the solar system. Remember, we used to think that for the longest time. The earth, everything revolves around us, because that's what we think. Everything revolves around us. And it turns out, no, the sun, but that's a pretty big, that's a 93 million mile difference. That's a big difference. No, did you know the solar system is like 120 times larger than the orbit of the earth around the sun? So that's just like a less than 1% difference. If I was to put it on a circle up here, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference where you're at. But realizing that small shift changed everything. So today we know the names Kepler. We know the name Copernicus. And we should recognize that the same sort of scientific genius that animated them was at work in Jesus in a moral capacity, a moral genius to see the difference. That to do something positive is far greater than to merely hold back from doing something negative. I want you to see the difference this makes. So let's say that that we take what some people call the silver rule. Do not do to others what you don't want done to you. Let's say we take the silver rule. Well, it requires, and by the way, these are your blanks. I know some of you guys, you're addicted to blanks. And so I'm going to help you fill this in, because love does. Love does, okay? So this is your first blank. It requires nothing extra than normal living. Requires nothing extra. It's not an injunction to do something. It's an injunction to avoid certain things. It is more legal than loving. That's your second set of blanks. It's just a set of rules. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. It's not driven by love, it's driven by inhibition. It can be satisfied by doing nothing. You can fulfill the silver rule in a coma. You want to get holier? Take more naps. That's what's your plan for holiness? Lethargy. I intend to sleep like a bear in winter. And it allows you to avoid people that you don't like and still be satisfied. That's not love does. That's love doesn't. Now, there is some wisdom there. It's not complete folly. I mean, how many of you know that love is partly expressed by what we don't do to one another? Everyone who has kids who are still alive, that's because you haven't rung their little necks yet. Because sometimes they deserve it. You want to slap them until Tuesday, you know, just, yeah, but you don't. And that's because of CPS, but because you've got morality inside of you. There's some things love doesn't do, but that's not enough. That's not enough. It's a silver. Why settle for silver when you can have gold? Everyone knows gold is far more precious than silver. God is calling us to something more and greater than simply do not, than simply do nothing. The golden rule that Jesus teaches here is love does. It's a small shift in words with a huge shift in impact. To say, I will do my best to help everyone is completely different than saying, I won't harm anyone. So imagine you're in a family, right? You're living at home. Maybe you have kids. Maybe you are a kid still and you stay more to the kids' zone. Like you're here, right? You think back to your kid days. And like, just think about chores in the family. Think about taking out the trash. Now, under the silver rule, don't do to someone else what you don't want done to you. No one's got to take out the trash unless it personally bothers them. And that's the way that a lot of families operate. But how do you know that's not the healthy place to be? The golden rule is you see the trash can full, you take it out. Because you would want it to be gone. And so when it's your turn, you do it, you see it. It motivates more. It creates a healthy dynamic when you're thinking, what can I do? Not what's the least I can get away with. In fact, a huge part of parenting is teaching kids to internalize the golden rule, at least as regards the family. So that you are contributing members of our family, and then someday we're going to be a contributing member of society and not just a leech, which is how you were born. at least I was. I don't know about you. So why is Love Does so powerful? Why is the golden rule so powerful? Here's the next cluster of fill in the blanks. Love Does takes deliberate action. The golden rule. To do that, you've got to actually do things on purpose. Love Does, it defies all laws. What does that mean? When you're operating because of the golden rule, it transforms your obedience. How many of you, going back to that childhood moment, right? How many of you ever had your parents make you apologize to somebody when you didn't feel sorry? Sorry. We've all done that. And we've seen, if you have kids, you've seen your kids do it. Okay, see, that's compliance, but that's not really obedience, right? That's formal observance of the regulations that you've handed down, but that's not what you want. Love Does is that shift, right? The golden rule is, you know what? I would want someone to really apologize to me, so I'm really going to own it, and I'm going to apologize to you. And I'm going to obey the law, but I'm going to do it with a good attitude. I'm going to obey the rules. I'm going to do it motivated by love. Love Does defies all laws because it surpasses them all. The law can only ever go this high. Rules can only ever go this high, but love pushes you beyond to a new level. It transforms the way you obey. Love Does, third set of blanks here, takes forethought and planning. It doesn't just happen. You have to think about, well, what would I want done for me if I was in their shoes? And it's, by the way, it's not always obvious, right? Like if I'm a bird flying along and I see like a fish in water, oh no, I won't be in the water. I will save the fish. That's not good. The fish needs something different than what the bird needs. And just because it's what you want doesn't mean it's what would be the right thing for them. So I have a friend named Noah. I love Noah. But Noah loves oatmeal raisin cookies. And that's why he's going to hell. No, God has forgiven him. God has forgiven him. See, I love chocolate chip cookies because I love Jesus and truth. And here's the thing though. Just knowing that what I want someone to do for me is give me warm chocolate chip cookies does not mean that's what I ought to do for Noah. Because that's not what Noah wants. See, it's a simple rule, but it's not a simplistic rule. What do I really want? I want someone to know me. And when they choose to bless me in a way that is meaningful to me. That's what I really want. Chocolate cookies are not the thing I want. They're like a manifestation of the real thing that I want. And so what I want to do for Noah is give him oatmeal raisin cookies, which means more chocolate chip cookies for me. The other day, I loaned one of my neighbors my truck because I have a truck and that happens a lot. They need to move things. And so afterwards, he was just so grateful. He came by and he gave me this wonderful bottle of wine. I don't drink, but he doesn't know that. He just knows I have a truck. And so here's the thing. I was honored that he tried to be nice. And so what did I do? I don't drink wine. No, I didn't do that. Because what would I want in that situation? I would want someone to be grateful for my expression of gratitude. And so I just said, thank you very much. And now I'm like, we're going to do this. We'll figure something out. Probably cook with it or something. I don't know. Love does. Love does pushes you beyond. It makes you think, and it puts you, final blank here in the second set, in relationship with all people. Love does puts you in relationship with all people. You're always thinking, when you truly internalize this rule, it doesn't just transform the way you relate to like your spouse, although it should, your children, although it should, your neighbors, although it should, but also random people, the server at a restaurant. If I was working that job, I'd like a tip. Well, then I will give them a tip. If I was listening to a sermon, if I was preaching a sermon, I want people to listen attentively, and so I'm going to do that. Well, you know, whatever the thing is, like it expands beyond. Love does creates obligation. The golden rule creates a positive momentum. The silver rule, the love does not, the don't do that, which would be harmful to someone else, is important, but all it does is hold you back. It restricts you from doing bad things. Love does creates goodness. Love doesn't simply prevents some forms of wickedness. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what our world would be like if people truly internalized and lived by the golden rule? I mean, just think about the news stories you've seen lately. Now, some of them, they'd be very similar. I've been actually blown away by looking at some of the stories that have come out of Hurricane Harvey of people from Louisiana. They're like, there's a flood. Get the boat. And so they haul off. And they're like, I know, I was in a flood last year. I wanted someone to come get me, so I'm going to go get them. Praise God. Golden rule to the max. That's amazing. But then, like, a few weeks before that, I was watching neo-Nazis march down the street in Charlottesville. What the what? The golden rule would change that situation quite a bit. How many news stories would be different if people truly, consistently, authentically lived by the golden rule? How would your family be different if every member of your family living in your house actually lived by the golden rule? How would your kids be different? How would your marriage be different? How would your workplace be different? Maybe even how would your industry be different? Now, we can't control your industry or your workplace. Most of us have learned you can't even control your spouse or your kids. All we can do is try to follow the golden rule ourselves. Now, when I was preparing for this message, I was doing some research. And one thing I found is one of those stories that I honestly don't know if this is a true story or not. Like, I couldn't find any scholars saying it, but it was on a bunch of websites. So take it for what it's worth. But one thing that people apparently ask, why is it called the golden rule? It's not just because it's precious. It's because, according to legend, there was once a Roman emperor named Alexander Severus. And he was not a Christian, but it was long enough after Jesus that the teachings of Jesus were beginning to get out there. And when he heard the golden rule, he thought, that's it. That's exactly the moral guideline that I need. And so he had the golden rule. Well, he had the rule inscribed on the walls of his throne room in gold. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Do to others what you would have them do to you. It was there in gold for all to see as he walked into his throne room. And so it became known as the golden rule. Now, that was costly. And that was hard. Do you know what's harder and more costly? To truly write the golden rule on the walls of your heart. To truly have it inscribed there. As a baseline you keep coming back to when you're making decisions. When you're trying to figure out how to live. Now this principle really is the summation of the entire Sermon on the Mount. If you understood this principle deeply and were smart enough on your feet, you'd be able to extrapolate the whole rest of the sermon. You'd be able to extrapolate the whole rest of the Bible. Jesus said, upon this rest all the law and the prophets. If you truly internalize this, you can figure everything else in the Bible out. So why do we have the rest of the Bible? Because we're not that smart. Especially when we're trying to make decisions under duress. Like, it's all well and good to say, yes, love says I must forgive. Well, I know that, except you really make me angry. So it's helpful that Jesus has just sort of tooled it out for us. By the way, forgive from your heart. Aw, man, that's what love does. You're right, it does. I need to do that.
Here's the problem. All of us have tried many times to be better. And we've succeeded at some level. I would say, you know, almost everyone here is, you know, there's a bad habit you've kicked. There's a virtue you've cultivated. But every one of us also, if we're honest, knows we've fallen short. Especially of this. The thing about the golden rule that is so annoying is it's so simple. It's not like it's, you know, well, you weren't able to plot the course to land a man on the moon. Yeah, I know. I forgot to carry the 3 or whatever, right? It's like, no. There's nothing complex here. It's just, hey, you know how you want people to treat you? Do that. Don't! Because I can't. And that is why the next few verses become so important. So that's all Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Now, Jesus says the very next words, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. When I was a kid, I remember sitting on the front porch of my grandma's house. I grew up in rural Louisiana, in a town called Opelousas. And, eventually I wound up moving to Opelousas. So sitting on the front porch of my grandma's house, that would eventually be the house that I would live in. Didn't know it at the time. And I was sitting on the front porch of this house, and there's this highway, Highway 182, that runs really, literally right in front of the house. Like, it's there, and the driveway connects to the highway directly. Because it's Louisiana, not California. You can do stuff like that. And I remember thinking, while I was visiting one summer with them, it was so wild. Because we lived like 4 hours away by car. And yet, I once counted it. When we got in the car from my house to go see Grandma and Grandpa, we only turned the car 5 times. We came out of the driveway, 1, out of the cul-de-sac, 2, out of the neighborhood, 3, onto the highway, 4, and then on that road until we got to the driveway, 5, Grandma and Grandpa's house. And that blew my mind because it was 4 hours, but it was only 5 choices. And I became fascinated with the idea of roads. And I began to ask myself questions like, I wonder what's the furthest I could go with the fewest number of turns. And I began to realize, if you never think about it, it's amazing. You can get almost anywhere that's not barred by an ocean with very few turns, unless it's like some weird place in a city and it's like 5,000 turns on one-way streets, right? It was a big journey, but it was defined by just a few moments. And what Jesus is saying here is life is a huge journey, but really, there's just one choice that matters. In terms of your destination, there's a lot of choices along the way that make a difference, that will affect the mechanism of your journey, the pleasure you derive on the path of your journey. But really, what matters is which road you're on. How many of you guys remember Bugs Bunny? I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque. You make the correct turn, you get to the right place. Make the incorrect turn, you arrive at the wrong place. Now, I don't know about you, but I know where I want to be. Heaven is real, hell is hot, and forever is a long time. I'm going to enter through the narrow gate, the narrow road that leads to life. So how do we get on the narrow road that leads to life? And how does it connect to the golden rule? So part of the point of the golden rule is, first, it's just true, and it's what we ought to do, and we all know we ought to do it. That's its power. We all know I need to do that, and we also know I've been incapable of doing that, and I see no evidence of that changing in the next several decades of my life. Lord willing, I have several decades, right? Like, that's the plan. Therefore, that's not good. The golden rule is not the thing that transforms the world. The golden rule is one of the things that drives us to the one who transforms the world. See, John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The way to get on the narrow road is to go to the narrow gate that is shaped like a cross. And on that road, we find true, abundant life. Now, once you enter the gate, you're on the road. And the road has this fence along it called Love Does. The road has speed signs and other traffic signs that say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the things that flow from that. That is fundamentally the summation of the Sermon on the Mount. That this is how we need to live, and we'll do the best that we can. And we're going to fall short, so we need Jesus to both forgive us for the times we fall short and transform us to help us do better as we journey on the narrow gate, the narrow road. Now, here's a question. Why is it narrow? God, why didn't you make it the broad road that leads to salvation? Why is it the narrow road that leads to salvation? That just seems mean. You ever think that? It's not arbitrary. It's just the way it has to be. I can prove it to you. Hello, math. Maybe you remember it from back when you were in, like, you know, just learning math, right? When did you first realize there are way more wrong answers than there are right answers? To every math problem, right? It's like 2 + 2 = 4. That's the one right answer. And then there's 3, there's 5, there's 22. It's whatever makes sense to, like, a kindergartner trying to figure it out. What's 2 + 2? 2. I mean, you don't know, right? They're all wrong. And they're all wrong in different ways. That's true in almost every area of life. I minister to students. And so I might say it this way. The path to C's is wide. And many travel that road. The path to a 4.0 is narrow. And few there are that find it. I'm middle-aged, right? The path to poundage is wide, as is my belt. The path to a six-pack is narrow, and few there are who find it. It's a basic principle of life. That anytime there's a right answer, there's a much bigger set of wrong answers. Jesus says, I am the gate. There's a narrow gate. And I'm so glad that it's narrow, because that means I can't bring all my baggage through it. You ever go, like, you're like, okay, I'm going to save some money. And so instead of, like, you know, getting a cab, I'm going to take the Caltrain up to, like, you know, SFO. And you're like, I've got my luggage on there, and I'm trying to get through, like, turnstiles and stuff. That doesn't work, man. It is a pain. You know what's awesome? To just walk on, like, don't have any luggage, just walk on through a turnstile. Boop, narrow gate, narrow frame, it works. The narrow gate requires us to leave aside everything that falls short of the standards that Jesus calls us to. So, why would anyone get on the road to destruction, the road to hell? Because it's not labeled that way. That's not what's on the sign. Just like tobacco companies don't sell cancer sticks. They sell cigarettes. No kid ever looks at that and says, I want to have my lungs rot, right? They think, I want to look cool. They sell cool. That's what they sell. That's what they market. That's what they advertise. In the same way, the broad road that leads to destruction is labeled things like this. The road to authenticity. You just got to be you, man. Follow your heart. That'll never lead you astray. The road to enlightenment. Hey, I know what you remember. Man, check this out. This will blow your mind, man. This is true. It sounds good. The road to tolerance. Man, if we could just all change the way we think about this, everything would be different. And there's so many different signs on the road. So many wonderful destinations. And what we need to settle this morning here at Abundant Life, as we end the Love Does lifestyle, is very simply, not the lifestyle, in the Love Does lifestyle sermon series. Very important. Just about hopped on the broad road there. We need to settle that we understand that at times the way that we choose to live will seem crazy to other people. That at times the choices that we make, both of things to do and not to do, will seem incomprehensible and not even commendable to some of our friends and neighbors and family members. But we're going to do it anyway, because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. That's where I want to go and take as many people with me as I can. So, Abundant Life, two things this morning. First, if you have not yet put your foot on the narrow path, if you've not come to the narrow gate yet, what a great morning to put your faith in Jesus Christ. He is worthy. He is not only the moral genius who for the first time put the golden rule into words. He is also God in the flesh who died on your behalf and invites you to the resurrection that he has already entered into. If that's you this morning, man, I just invite you in a few moments as we pray, just pray to God and say, Lord, give me Jesus. Forgive me and change me. Something along those lines. He'll meet you where you're at. Most of us are here in this 9,000 degree weather because we've chosen that narrow road. We've chosen that narrow path. And some days the journey is easier than others. Here's just a checkup for you. How are you doing with the golden rule? Not just the external compliance with like you don't have to be a Christian for very long before you get a list of the sort of internalized list of the do's and the do nots, right? Like, you know, yeah, don't curse. At least these are the words that we count as cursing in our church. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that, you know, tithe, whatever. Like you get it. Okay. That those are good and they matter. What matters far more is, are they driven by love? How are you doing with the golden rule? The love does lifestyle. Is it at 14 karat gold? Maybe 18 karat gold? You getting close to the full 24 carats? Just where are you at? Just take a moment and actually think about it. In your life over this last week or month, whatever makes the most sense as a time frame to you, to what extent can you say your choices have reflected this principle? I've treated other people the way that I would want to be treated in their situation. I've done that for my spouse. I've done that for my boss, my subordinates. I've done it in my neighborhood. I've done it for my children. I treated them at the age of 10 the way that I wish I had been treated at the age of 10. With your servers, at restaurants, wherever you find yourself, strangers on the bus. How have you been doing? I say this not to create any sense of guilt or condemnation in anyone. It's not the point. In fact, some of you may be doing great, and if so, praise God. I'm so grateful, and just what I would encourage you to do is pray, God, help me keep it up. Because that's one lap, and this race ain't even nearly over yet. I need to keep up and keep going. For most of us, we can probably think of a few areas where we didn't do as well as we'd like. Maybe there's one area in particular that's standing out to you right now, a particular relationship or category of relationships where, you know, love does, but I haven't. So right now, we're going to do is we're going to take that to prayer. And I believe the prayer partners are ready here in the church. Well, would you guys come on up? The prayer partners who are accustomed to praying with people after service. Just be available. Like, now you can move. I'm going to pray just a blanket prayer verse, and then Pastor Sean's going to lead us in, I believe, one last song. And then just if you desire special prayer, whether for something that we've talked about this morning, or maybe there's just an issue in your life, you, like Pastor Greg, have got an illness in your family or perhaps in yourself. There's a financial crisis looming, and you just need God to provide. You've got friends who are being devastated by what happened in Houston or maybe in Southeast Asia somewhere, India, Nepal, one of the places that is suffering in those floods or something else. We'd be happy to pray with you. God, I thank you for the family that is abundant life. And God, I thank you. You've been taking us ever further on this love does journey. God, help us to be love does people. Lord, to truly follow the golden rule. Like mature, intelligent adults. Not simplistically, God, but simply, straightforwardly, to do the things that we know need to be done. And God, we're not always going to have the strength, so we pray for your help and your Holy Spirit right now to empower us. And God, specifically right now, we call to mind the places that we struggle, Lord. That one person, that one cluster of relationships, it's just harder for us. God, breathe on that situation right now. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and give us specific next steps to take. Lord, what should I do the next time that I see him, the next time that I talk to her, the next time that we cross paths, the next time I'm on shift and this comes up? God, what does love does call me to do? What would the golden rule look like in that situation? Help me be loving and help me be wise. And God, help me live for your glory because you are worthy. Lord, you gave your life for me, and so now I give my life back to you. And finally, if you're here and your faith is not yet in Jesus Christ, this is the moment. Simply pray something like this. Lord, love does, and you did. You gave yourself for me. You died in my place. And Lord, I accept that sacrifice on my behalf. Forgive me on account of Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit and help me live for you as I enter through the narrow gate. Help me stay on the narrow path. It's in the mighty name of Jesus, the strong Son of God, that we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us and join in worship?
Amen. I just want to reemphasize what Pastor Glenn mentioned, that this is possible through the Holy Spirit. I just want to remind you, as people of the Silicon Valley, we tend to want to optimize our lives in a lot of different ways. And if you think about what...
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Stelling Road in Cupertino, California.